Thanks for listening this December 11th, 2022. This is Liberation Station Radio Show with Chris Steiner. Thanks for expressing yourselves, whether it's calling in or simply sitting in the silence of basking in the natural radiance of your own soul and sending good vibes out to your environment and throughout all creation. The site is theliberationstation.com, and we are now streaming live on Facebook. And that'll be copied over to the Republic Broadcasting Facebook page in just a few moments as we begin the first clip. And going to start out with an announcement based on this first clip that is from the High Wire with Del Bigtree, but it's just a concise, the condensed version of the hearing that Senator Ron Johnson just held, over three-hour hearing he held this December 7th, this past Wednesday. And you can find it on his Rumble channel, rumble.com, and search in the search bar for Ron Johnson, Senator Ron Johnson, and you'll find it at the top. The second one down and search results is the same video posted at the High Wire with Del Bigtree. They're involved in producing that hearing. And its title of the video on Ron Johnson's page is COVID-19 Vaccines, What They Are, How They Work, Possible Causes of Injuries. And we'll start that in just a moment. Also, you can join us in the chat room over on the listen/archives page. That's listen/archives page, which is the third page down at theliberationstation.com. That's theliberationstation.com. And fortunate to get an early birthday present. My 49th birthday is tomorrow, and I was just doing a search on Google, speaking of search results, and see that when I do a search of just Liberation Station, at last, I'm at the top of the search results with Google, for what that's worth. But I think it's worth a lot for folks who are just looking for the show. If they just want to find Liberation Station Radio Show or Chris Steiner Radio Show, they can search for that and it'll come up as well. And so glad to see that Google is maybe treating us right for once. And let me get this clip number one ready to go here, Sam, just a moment. I had to switch around my playing plans for today. So I'm not playing my clips live due to some audio issues that I've had. So I'm going to ask Sam there to play just, we have two clips lined up. And Sam, when you're ready, please go right ahead and roll that clip number one.
Up Monday afternoon to get to Washington, D.C. to start meeting with this incredible panel of world-renowned scientists, doctors, experts to discuss what is really going
Sam,
on with this vaccine program around the world. And it was a spectacular event. So I'm about to play you just a little sort of part of what was a three-hour event packed with some of the most important information we've ever seen. And I just want to, once again, just take this moment to recognize the fact that we have a politician like we do in Senator Ron Johnson that said to you on this show and during his election, if I get reelected, this issue of the vaccine, the rush to roll it out and vaccine injury will be my number one focus. He proved that to be true. Look how quickly after his reelection in office, even before the next year starts, he decided to have this hearing. This was it on his own page. Media Advisory Center, Senator Johnson to lead roundtable on COVID-19 vaccine efficacy and safety. It was an incredible event. I hope you watched it, but if you didn't, this is what that looked like.
The main reason for this event today was, first of all, to provide information that the American public deserves to know, that they're not being told, but anything we could do to prevent further harm. I don't want to scare the you-know-what out of people. I don't. None of us do, okay? But they need to have that information.
V-Safe is the CDC's premier vaccine safety system for the COVID-19 vaccine. This is a dashboard that I can create to be able to visually represent the V-Safe data. About 800,000 people reported needing medical care in the database of 9-10 million. That's about a 7.7% of people in V-Safe reported needing medical care. That is one in 13 people, yet the CDC did not pull the shot.
In January 2021, I came before you as a military whistleblower reporting catastrophic increases in illnesses and injuries across the DoD. The total number of reportable events went from 110,000 in 2020 to over 200,000 in 2022. The vaccine was introduced into the military in January of 2021.
Generated hundreds and hundreds of charts, looked at this every way from Sunday. UK government until this summer was reporting a data series that showed the relative mortality rates for the vaccinated and unvaccinated by the number of doses of the vaccine. It simplifies down to a conclusion that says that through the last available data set, the people in the UK who took the vaccine have a 26% higher mortality rate.
This is a society of actuaries. In 2021, in ages 25 through 64, the employed people of our nation covered under group life, they experienced a 40% excess mortality. 1.2 million additional Americans in the employed segment of our population left the workforce or didn't leave the work, they got disabled. That is the size of the state of Wyoming and Vermont combined that disappeared from the labor force.
As a journalist, I looked at the emergency use authorization for the vaccine and wanted to see had they achieved the stopping transmission, which is our definition of a vaccine. But when we looked at the emergency use authorization, what was known was that the data are not there, limited to assess the effects of the vaccine against transmission of SARS-CoV-2. They had no idea. They had no idea if it would stop the infection, yet they were making those statements on the news. And now we find out from the heads of Pfizer that they were never even testing inside the trials whether or not it could stop transmission.
In January of 2020, I was working as the senior advisor to the FDA commissioner on drug safety and FDA science policy. I don't understand how in good conscience we can still be giving these vaccines at this point for the COVID-19, named after 2019, for a strain of the vaccine that no longer exists.
This spike protein, when we inject this gene into the body and start hijacking your cells to make it, these natural killer cells now look at your own cells, they poke a little hole in those cells, and then they throw a little hand grenade in and start blowing them up. It's not just that this spike protein is dangerous. The lipid nanoparticle will go anywhere into the body. It was designed to carry chemotherapeutic agents to the brain. You don't want spike protein in your brain.
We now have data from multiple sources that the spike protein, which
the current mRNA vaccine products ask the body to make are cardiotoxic and cause the heart to be inflamed. The spike protein sets in motion a cascade of events that activates platelets to form clots and inflames the blood vessel lining the heart and the heart muscle itself.
What I'm seeing clinically is now patients have taken the vaccine and they've had COVID and they've taken the vaccine and now it's all mixed and there's multiple exposures. The more exposures there are, in my estimation, there's greater risks of myocarditis and recurrent myocarditis and blood clots and more blood clots. And the FDA and the manufacturers strictly excluded COVID recovered patients from the clinical trials because of that fact.
I've seen 3 strokes, transient ischemic attacks, massive clot to the spleen and liver, spinal tumors, brain tumors, sarcoidosis, lupus, cognitive impairment, myocarditis, pericarditis, and I see a shocking suppression of the immune system that is pervasive.
My patients are women of reproductive age, pregnant women, and preborn babies. And what I've seen in my clinical practice has been a substantial, massive increase, unprecedented, in menstrual abnormalities prior to pregnancy, a substantial increase in infertility, a substantial increase in miscarriage, fetal death, and fetal malformation. And what we've seen is catastrophic. It's a danger signal like no others.
There is significant variance in the toxicity from lot to lot, such as the lot that I received with my second dose that almost killed me as I developed hypertension with systolic to 230. That there's some reason why some lots are associated with many more deaths and much more disease than others.
My life before my vaccine was beautiful. Sorry, it's hard to remember the worst parts of my life. I participated in a clinical trial for AstraZeneca. And now I suffer from a severe debilitating form of neuropathy that will progress until I'm essentially left in a care home.
I received my one and only Moderna injection on December 30th of 2022. Within 1 week after my Moderna shot, I began to have numbness and weakness in my legs. I quickly received the diagnosis of transverse myelitis. This involves an injury to my thoracic spinal cord. I am now permanently disabled. If you have an adverse event after your shot, you are on your own.
They are currently enrolling 50 different clinical trials on other new mRNA vaccines. This product, which we've all agreed are inadequate, are now being grandfathered and essentially enabling a functional monopoly for Pfizer, Moderna, and BioNTech to deploy this technology for virtually any purpose.
There are plenty of drugs that have been shown to have antiviral properties, and they were very quickly identified around the world and widely used, not in this country.
About 40% of drugs, 40% of drugs used in hospitals are used off-label. That's fine if you're treating heart disease, but suddenly if it's coronavirus, that the FDA, the CDC, the NIH do not want you to use an off-label drug because it would compete with big pharma.
I want to ask why the American Board of Obstetrics and Gynecology, why the American College of OBGYN, and why the Society of Maternal Fetal Medicine, all of whom I've served in a professional capacity in an outstanding fashion my entire career, why they are pushing this lethal vaccine, risking the future of all humanity.
Other nations have banned this product because it's too dangerous for younger people. What are we doing?
I'm passionate for the health of our children. I'm also passionate for young service members that I served for 13 years in the Air Force as a flight surgeon, deployed twice to Iraq. For our healthy children and the majority of our war fighters, the data show that the risk for myocarditis is greater than the benefit of the vaccine products. As a physician who has vowed to do no harm, my opinion is that we should not mandate harm. I can't believe that the FDA, where I've worked as a career medical officer, I'm the only person who's out of the 20,000 employees or so at the FDA of physicians, pharmacists, nurses, public health officials that's here speaking out about this. I don't understand.
It's an outrage, a moral, ethical, medical outrage.
All the vaccine mandates should be dropped immediately. We need requests for applications and immediate funding for vaccine injury centers of excellence across the United States for screening, detection, diagnosis, prognosis, and management. We need a massive shift in our healthcare system towards managing now this large number of vaccine injured people.
It is absolutely irresponsible to continue any of these shots in our reproductive age kids or younger. Anybody that could possibly pass these on without investigating this, and I am demanding now that this be investigated.
Well, I want to say that there is what you see in front of the cameras, and I think we did a brilliant job of taking, you know, over 20 scientists that all came together for this event and tried to get them to contain their number one thought.
Okay, we can fade it out there when we're done. All right, there was the last edition of the High Wire with Delvitree. That was the December 8th edition after the December 7th hearing, from which you just heard the excerpts of the Ron Johnson hearing. And I'm getting a comment here from Dave in New York. So, Dave, if you're listening, I wish I had time to chat in the chat room to understand the context of your question with Ed Dowd. So type that in there. You're welcome to call. Next, we're going to get to clip number two. This is just about 20 minutes, and this is the last clip that I have planned to play for this show. This is also from the last edition of The High Wire, the weekly appearance of Jeffrey Jackson, and he is going over a lot of the science. I just decided to skip over the Elon Musk Twitter segment that he had to start it. So I really don't want to give them any more attention than they already have. I mean, you know, if you're not a pornographer and you're trying to get on Twitter, make sure you're reinstated on Twitter, then maybe it's for the best if they keep you off. And I think that's where I would like to leave Twitter and not mention them all that often, other than in that kind of context. So let's get over to clip number two. This is also from the last edition of The High Wire, November 8th. And it's episode 297, entitled Bleeding Truth, Jeffrey Jackson's appearance again. When that clip is ready, please roll it.
And one of the biggest stories that was actually discussed at the Ron Johnson hearing was something we've been covering on the High Wire for a while, and that's the excess population deaths after the vaccine, during the vaccine rollout and after the COVID vaccine rollout. And this has gained attention in the European Union by their parliamentary members. This has also gained attention in the German media. This is something that a lot of people are asking questions about right now. But a sub-story to that, just as important, are the increasing numbers of miscarriages and infant deaths, shortly after birth or at birth. And this is something now we're seeing in the media. It's being reported. We're seeing it in the statistics as well. This is just some of the headlines here, just to pad this story and really understand why we're investigating this, because this is an open investigation here, and we're going to bring the viewers along with it. So check out this headline from the BBC. This is out of Scotland. Baby death rate in Scotland at highest for a decade. And this is the Herald now. Scotland neonate death spike not linked to COVID in mothers or babies. And the next headline in that same newspaper, the investigation launched into abnormal spike in newborn baby deaths in Scotland. So they've launched an internal investigation, the government has there. Now, bringing this over to the United States, we have the VAERS system, the Vaccine Adverse Event Reporting System. We have Open VAERS, which kind of collates all that data and gives charts, gives raw numbers. And we have the charts here on miscarriages, reports of miscarriages and stillbirths by year. And you can see here, 2021, the vaccine rollout really gets going. You can see almost 3,500 reports. Now, anything close to that was maybe around 2008, 2009, maybe about 200, 250. And then you can see in 2022, same thing, 1,500. But now we're looking at the open VAERS miscarriages by day. So what days are these happening? And day zero, obviously, you know, a miscarriage on day zero, but one, two, and three.
So this is after vaccination, like they got vaccinated and they immediately have a miscarriage one day after vaccination, 2 days after vaccination. And this is what we call a signal, right? I mean, if there's a slight rise, maybe you're just trying to make some temporal association. When you have this many reports coming in that are all happening that close to the vaccination, or literally the day you were vaccinated, that's alarming. Look how many reports we're talking about there.
Right. And you know, we're going to piece this together here and bring the audience with us. And so we have headlines. We have the media is beginning to cover this. We have the Open VAERS reporting system, which is this voluntary reporting system. And then we have anecdotal stories and even admissions from hospitals, as we've had a nurse whistleblower on just recently on our show say to really blow the whistle on this very subject. Take a listen.
Yeah.
I'm a postpartum nurse. I've thought about quitting multiple times because of all the carnage that I've been seeing. In March of 2021, it was about 2 months after the vaccines really started to roll out, I noticed that in the NICU, the neonatal intensive care unit, it used to always have about 50 babies in there. And all of a sudden in March 2021, there were 80 babies in the NICU. So that's a very high number for the NICU. In April of 2021, I started noticing that there were fetal demises on the board in labor and delivery. A fetal demise is a baby that passed away in utero, but they're usually full term. So, you know, anywhere from 32 weeks to 40 weeks even. I would look on their charts and I was noticing that a lot of these mothers had received the vaccine.
What would be the average rate of, you know, stillborn fetal demise on your floor?
When I started working there in November 2020, there used to be one or two every 2 or 3 months. Since March of 2021, there were one or two each week.
We could just say, well, this is just Michelle's opinion. Today, she has bravely released to us an internal document, an email from that hospital system that was sent out to those working there. This went out to the staff. Good evening, everyone. Well, it seems as though the increase of demise patients that we are seeing is going to continue. There were 22 demises in August, which ties the record number of demises in July 2021. And so far in September, there have been 7, and it's only the 8th day of the month. I have to say, I feel like the oxygen has just been sucked out of my lungs. To read that from someone that is as objective, I guess, as you could get, working for the system itself, it now corroborates what you're seeing with your own eyes. And for anyone that was having a question anywhere around the world now, this is a shocking, shocking email. I said to the team after, and that was breaking as we were hearing it. That was the first time I ever read that letter. It was right on camera. And I said to the team, that may be the biggest story we ever broke. I mean, that is gigantic. Yeah.
Speechless on that. And so, you know, we're painting this picture, continuing to paint this picture. We keep seeing signals here. Obviously, that's a gigantic signal. And let's look at the data, the raw data from other countries now. So let's look at the UK first. So the UK has a COVID-19 vaccine surveillance report. Their most recently report, week 48, that's for December 2022. It's by the UK Government Health Security Agency. And we took this data here and we crunched the numbers and we looked at this. Now, this is the UK births and overall vaccine coverage in women giving birth by month of delivery. So you see in the blue, that's vaccine uptake, and you see in the orange, that is the women giving birth, the birth rate, basically. And now you can see something interesting about that. As the vaccine uptake goes up, you see the birth rate start to go down. And the next slide shows, if you really start to want to compare these, we have a statistically significant drop in births as the vaccine uptake increases. So that first black box on the top left, that's really no to relatively low vaccine uptake. So that second black box on the far right, that is high vaccine uptake. And you can see the red line showing that there is a drop now as that vaccine uptake goes up. the birth rate goes down, and that is that's in the UK. It's from the UK's own data. And it, you know, another way
to be clear,
looking at this,
and be clear, Jeffrey, as we're looking at graphs like this, we made this graph. This is an ICANN created graph by our science team using the data that's found. Because if they go, and we will provide that data in the links as we always do. But if you're looking for this graph, we created the graph based on the actual numbers that exist in that document.
And correct. And for the researchers out there and writers and journalists, if you sign up for our newsletter, you will get this information every Monday. We give the links. All these charts will be in there. And so and you can go there right there to the website at the bottom.
Please put your email in and challenge us. I mean, this is all about transparency. If you think somehow, oh, you're cherry picking or you got it wrong, it's exactly what we want to have happen. I want you to look at that data. If you see that our graphs are ever off or somehow misrepresented, contact us immediately. So far to date, we have world scientists all around the world are now writing in that they're watching our show because we do get so specific on this. But as always, hasn't happened yet. But if we have sort of misrepresented with a graph, we will let you know. I want everyone out there to know that transparency is the most important part of science. And obviously, getting it right and not fast, but right is the most important part of what we do here at the High Wire. I just wanted to clarify that because we show a lot of graphs and sometimes they come from the documents. That is ours. Okay.
Absolutely. And so another way of looking at that UK data, we take a regression line. So the regression line is another way to look at that and see if this data fits. So you see just these random dots. These are all the data points from the data. And you can see a line there is drawn. So at the bottom, you have the percentages. So as the percentage vaccine uptake increases, you see this line goes down. So all the statisticians out there, you're going to see that p-value is statistically significant at 0.01. And then the R-squared is also showing that there's a correlation here. So that's also what we're seeing in the German data. So if you go to the German data, they're actually looking from 2015 to 2022. These are the monthly live births in Germany. And you can see here in the red 2022, you see a significant drop in that year. This is the most recent German data as well. And another way to look at that here, we broke that down in a little different way. We took the average births from January to March 2018 to 2021, and we looked at the births from January to March of 2022. And you can see here, we're missing about almost, it looks like 10,000, almost 10,000 births there as far as an average in Germany. Switzerland, same kind of trend we're seeing here. So this, in the Swiss chart, you're seeing in the red there, that's 2022. That is the monthly live births in Switzerland. And you're going to see that drop there. Those lines on the left are the vaccination uptake. And you can see it almost correlates. Once that vaccination uptake gets around 70, 75%, you're seeing a drop in those monthly live births in Switzerland. So we're painting this huge picture here.
You know what's amazing? I just want to put this out there because I know we're going to get into the sort of a thought on what may be causing this. But let's be honest here. We should be seeing a baby boom. We just had an international, in some cases, two-year blackout, lockout, locked in your house. I mean, I'm sorry, let's not get graphic here, but when you're stuck in your house with nothing to do, the usual outcome is a baby boom. So even if it was flatlined, we should be concerned. Even if it was just like last year, we should be like, you know, under the circumstances, that's a little shocking to see a drop after the circumstances we've all come through. Honestly, folks, getting outside of science, that seems a little odd, does it not?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And so, you know, we have these anecdotal stories. We have hospitals talking about it. We have statistics that are pointing in one direction here, and even headlines, investigations within government. So we're starting to look at the science. Are there mechanisms? Are there possible ideas of how this might happen? Because we're not hearing much of that yet. And so we're seeing, again, open investigation here. We see a study. Anybody wants to look this up or follow along, this is the name of the study here. It's called Skewed Fate and Hematopoiesis of CD34 plus HSPCs in Umbilical Cord Blood Amid the COVID-19 Pandemic. So,
and we'll pause it right there, pick it right back up for about 8 more minutes of Jeffrey Jackson on the last edition of The High Wire with Del Vitri. This is Chris Snyder with Liberation Station Radio Show. We'll be right back.
My brain's too fried, so I give it no thought. Because the FDA said it's safe for me. The drug companies claim that it's made for me. And the government, they're gonna pay for me.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website
by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Find your inner rebel at Dixie Republic, the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to DixieRepublic.com to view our Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through our extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in our Johnny Reb's Gun and Leather Shop. That's DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs.
Support those that support the network. Support Dixie Republic at DixieRepublic.com. Email ProudSouthern123@gmail.com and let them know that RBN sent you.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
Welcome to the revolution. All the walls are breaking down. It's time you had a taste of losing. Time the tables turned around. A glimpse of the recognition, but it's too little, it's too late. And what you thought was your best decision just became your worst mistake. What I mean is why.
Rise up, folks, and pass on this information that you're learning here, these details, these facts, figures, and studies to talk show hosts like C-SPAN or your local community-sponsored stations. Just call in and lay it on them, and don't worry about whether you're persuading them. It takes time, but what you're more concerned about is getting the information out over the air to the audience. And if persuading the host or hostess is a difficult job and you're not making any progress with that, don't worry. Just keep responding to their questions, you know, calmly, and show that you're not the radical reactionary who's trying to shut down the free flow of conversation. You're a good conversationalist. You can answer questions because you have more than enough information ready to go, and have notes in front of you if possible. Like through this whole COVID ordeal, I've been taking notes and been able to refer back to who said what and what studies read what scientists found or warned of certain things. And now let's get back to the study that Jeffrey Jackson was just referring to before the break. We'll resume this clip, the last 8 minutes of the last edition of The High Wire with Del Bigtree, December 8th, 2022. This study, this is Jeffrey Jackson reporting on the study, Skewed Fate and Hematopoiesis of CD34 Plus and HSPCs in Umbilical Cord Blood Amid the COVID-19 Pandemic, published just a month ago, November 10th, 2022. And when you're ready, Sam, please resume that clip.
So HSPC, it's hematopoietic stem progenitor cells. So the researchers gathered these progenitor cells from the umbilical cord of donors. And so to understand what these progenitor stem cells are, we have kind of like a little bit of flow chart here. And these are what they sound like, progenitor cells. These are the first cells, the ancestor cells, the beginning of from which all other cells are derived from. So right at the top there, you see the hematopoietic stem cells. And from there, we have branches off into the two myeloid and lymphoid cells. And from there, you get your immune cells, your natural killer cells, your B cells, your T cells, your mast cells, macrophages, plasma, and even erythrocytes, the red blood cells. So keep that in mind. But understand that is in the umbilical cord. So what these researchers did is they took these cells from this from the umbilical cords of donors. And they
I just feel like I have to interject right now because I know we have a brand new audience every day. Yes, we get very scientific here. Hold on. You're not going to be quizzed on all these things. You will actually come out, even if though we're all lay people at different levels. Just hold on. Jeffrey will take us through this and get down to the simple nuts and bolts. So you don't have to memorize every term there. Very interesting. So basically the creation cells that create all other cells are these, I'm not even going to try to say it.
Hematopoiesis.
There we go.
Yes.
I got it out once. Yeah. Go ahead.
Okay. So we have these stem cells, these HSPCs, these things, stem cells, the beginning cells. So the researchers write this. In general, HSPCs are considered as one of the first responders to infection as well as vaccination, which include releasing pro-inflammatory cytokines. So those are the immune system kind of helpers that go out and get this virus and signal it. So it goes on to say, the researchers write, the immune responses and cytokine profiles in pregnant women who were infected by SARS-CoV-2 and or vaccinated against SARS-CoV-2 indicate a concern in the maintenance and proper function and phenotypes of HSPCs in the UCB, that's umbilical cord, as well as hematopoiesis in the fetus and neonate. So they're saying there's a concern in hematopoiesis, which is blood cell production in the fetus and neonate. And so we're going to look at some charts really quick, but there's this number, CD34 plus. So when you see CD34 plus, just think stem cell, because those are the signaling molecules that the researchers use to identify where these stem cells are and what they were doing. That's kind of just the measuring stick they use, so to speak. So let's look at this first chart here. This first chart shows the percent CD34 plus frequency, so stem cell frequency, and you have a negative control on the left side. So that means people that had no evidence of infection, they didn't have an antigen for the spike protein, they didn't have any record of vaccination, nothing. So this is, if you will, what a normal person should have. So now we see the non-vaccinated person there on the bottom versus the vaccinated and the percentage of these stem cell frequencies. So you see the non-vaccinated person who has, you know, evidence of being infected, you see a drop. There is a drop. It's not substantial, but there's a drop. And then when you see the vaccinated person, you do see a larger drop. And if you go across to the second chart on the right, just the cell count, you see a dramatic drop. And that caused the researchers to say this. They called the word striking. Striking changes were observed in the CD34 plus cell fraction. The total numbers of CD34 plus cells drastically reduced fourfold in the vaccinated donor group in which this change was correlated with the induction of apoptosis in CD34 plus cells. Apoptosis is cell death. So the researchers are saying, you know, we waited, we stuck around, we were hoping that they would go back to baseline, maybe it just dropped for a little while. No, no, the cells died, apoptosis, so they're not coming back. So you have these stem cell progenitor cells that are providing red blood cells, oxygen to babies. We're losing those. They're not coming back after vaccination. And so let's look at this next chart just to show the decline a little more what these researchers found. So this gives you a little better idea. So that dotted line at the top of both these charts is, again, the normal baseline.
That's and like the negative control. That's where you should be.
Yes, okay. That's where you should be. And so the researchers said, okay, we know about infection, and we see a signal on vaccination. So let's just look at vaccination. So let's look at how many days after their second vaccination, what happens after the second vaccination to these stem cells, these CD34 plus stem cell molecules. And you can see here, as the days progress after vaccination, these numbers drop. They're dropping significantly in percentage and frequency quite a bit. And so you're seeing that, you know, that's a plot, the researcher plot of
that's
these percentages.
Down to nearly zero at 300 days out. Literally the cells that create all the other cells in many ways are disappearing after vaccination over time.
Right, right. And so you're seeing the percentage frequencies versus days after vaccination. And the researchers write this. Both of those parameters that were researched were inversely correlated with the term following the vaccination, though there was no significance difference by the positivity for IgGs against SARS-CoV-2 SNN proteins, indicating that these impacts on CD34 plus cells were largely caused by the vaccination, in which the trends continued without recovering to baseline over the entire gestation period.
Wow.
So let's pause right there for a second. The researchers said that increasing cytokine activity, the inflammation, these stem cells are the first responders, and they release inflammatory cytokines for infection or vaccination. So looking back in the research in 2013, there's more research to inform this decision, to inform this data. And this is the study right here. It's called Regulation of Hematopoietic Stem Cell Activity by Inflammation. And it says in here, chronic inflammatory cytokine signaling, you know, the stuff that you get when you get vaccinated or infected, can lead to HSC, that's the hematopoietic stem cell exhaustion, and may contribute to the development of hematopoietic malignancies. So there's evidence there. You know, think about this. You get the first shot, second shot, booster, third, fourth, fifth boosters. You're getting this pro-inflammatory immune response, cytokine response. And so there's data showing that this is affecting these stem cells. And so let's bring this back and finish it. How does this affect the child? Does this affect the child? Well, do these stem cells, what do they do in a children and developing child in the womb? And let's go to MedPage. This is what they have to say about it. This is kind of the basic science. They say hematopoiesis in the embryo produces only red blood cells that can provide developing organs with oxygen. At this stage in development, the yolk sac, which nourishes the embryo until the placenta is fully developed, controls hematopoiesis. As the embryo continues to develop, the hematopoiesis process moves to the liver, the spleen, and bone marrow and begins producing other types of blood cells. And that's where you get your development of literally your immune system via at the cellular level. So this is what we're talking about here. These are tracks that we're laying down for researchers who want to look at this that are vitally important to. And if this clue, you know, God forbid, if this clue is true, and this is what we're researching here, it's an open investigation, and we welcome anybody in the science community or the medical community or journalists to jump on board and help us with this.
Yeah, just to be perfectly clear, a lot of this seems, you know, incredibly damning. You see the German numbers, all of those. Look, this is anecdotal evidence that we're showing you. We are just journalists investigating what we're seeing and following the studies that are being done as a part of an open investigation. We are not saying that we can prove unequivocally that the vaccine is, you know, causing miscarriages, but this story is growing. And as it grows, we feel our job here at the High Wire is to try and track what would be the plausibility. Is there any action that can be described? And so our international science team works with Jeffrey, goes out there, and this set of studies came to our attention just last week. That's what we're sharing with you, is literally the investigation we find ourselves in the middle in. Jeffrey, really, I mean, obviously deep science stuff. I love that you're in there, you know, figuring this all out, but It's alarming, important, and just so glad you are on our team. So keep up the great work. Really great stuff.
All right. Great to be standing next to everyone on that team and yourself too, Dell. Thanks.
And that was the last appearance of Jeffrey Jackson on the last edition of Flywire with Dell Bigtree, December 8th, 2022. Just wanted to throw in the science that he covered. I don't like the politics of Elon Musk and Twitter that they covered before that, because I just don't want to give attention to them. I think that time is a lot better spent on the science that we can keep up to date on in order to let others know, because you know, everything else pretty much is gossip. But if we can pass on the hard science, then point out to folks that if you're not interested in certain science, don't call me anti-science. This is how bloody revolutions start, is where the scientists, the intellectuals, are marginalized, and then the dictator has permission to, or dictators, the oligarchs have permission to come in and take out those intellectuals. And that's the way every tyranny, once tyranny falls, or the night of tyranny falls on a society, it's always the intellectuals who have first been marginalized, and then there's permission from society to put them out of business and take them out of their line of work. And for example, the Jews were not allowed to keep their businesses. They were told that they were spreaders of lice at the time. And you know, so these untouchables that nobody had a microscope to verify back then, that they were just marginalized before they were, well, all the groups, not just the Jews. But that's the point I try to make, is that all the various groups that they wanted to marginalize in Nazi Germany first were done so under various false pretexts. And to comment on that first clip, since we were talking about in the beginning of the show, we played the clip from Ron Johnson's hearing on this past Wednesday, December 7th, over 3 hours. You can find that at Rumble again. It's entitled COVID-19 vaccines, what they are, how they work, and possible causes of injury. And Dave was commenting on what Ed Dowd had said in that hearing, which, let me see, I'll give you a brief quote before we take your call, Dave. This was a former BlackRock senior investment advisor, Ed Dowd, said, quote, in 2021, in ages 25 through 64, the employed people covered under group life, meaning group life insurance, experienced a 40% excess mortality. As quoted by the CEO of an insurance company, just a 10% increase in excess mortality is a, quote, once in a 200-year flood, end quote. So 40% is off the charts, end quote. So I believe, Dave, you'd like to comment on that or anything else. Dave, good morning. What's on your mind?
Yeah, good morning. Well, that is significant. What he's doing is he's comparing the increase to the stability that we've seen. It's been at a baseline rate of death with very little deviation. And then you can take the see how many standard deviations this 40% deviation is. And I don't know how many it is, but it's huge, improbable difference. It doesn't occur by chance. It, you know, can you prove anything? Well, this is about as close to absolute proof as you can get. I would say that something is going on. Now, that's the increase in deaths. Well, you know, dead people are gone. All we got to do is bury them and it's over. But disabled people, we have to care for them. We have to give them disability benefits. We have to provide people to watch them and care for them. And this was the big concern that I had before when they're talking about this. First time I heard about disabilities, I said, wow, that's going to be a big burden on the economy, on society. Should we just euthanize them? Well, you know, these ideas are, why would we even think of these ideas? Years ago, we never would have thought of that. And these have been infused into the whole thing. But what Ed Dowd was saying in a different video that I did post there, because I wanted to see what he was saying about the increase in disabilities. And he focused on, he showed the general population increase of 11% in disabilities. And I think 2021 and 2022, that must have been year to date in 2022, of 11% in the general population and 25.8% approximately in the working age population, employed population, in the employed population. Okay. So that means that there was a much higher disability rate increase in the employed population. And he attributed that to most likely the vaccine requirements for employment.
All right. Okay, Dave, hold that thought. Maybe back up a little bit when we get back, if you want to repeat that, those thoughts. The bumper music was playing over you. We'll be right back here on Liberation Station Radio Show. Stay tuned. You know you do
it all the time. Standing 6'4", weighing in 245 pounds of crime-fighting, political science-analyzing brawn, ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Patrick Slattery.
So, Mike, get off this anti-cicada agenda.
I'm a born-again traditional Christian, and my favorite possessions are right here on my nightstand. That would be the King James Bible and my .357 revolver.
I'd rather be ruled by Chinamen than Jews.
Cool it with the anti-Semitic remarks, right?
Just because you steal an election and terminate the republic doesn't mean you terminate the people in the republic, because we're still here.
I'm not taking the vaccine. Fuck you, Bill Gates.
There was a way forward still on January 6th. What needed to be done is to object to every single state.
The COVID-19 virus was the setup. The vaccine could very well be the bioweapon.
The Patrick and Jeremy Show, Tuesday at 9 Central and Wednesday at 1 Central.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
American Freedom News is your daily website that will keep you fully informed on what both the good guys and bad guys are doing in the information war in which we are all engaged. Fed up with the lies of the fake news media and the censorship of big tech giants? American Freedom News is the solution, as we provide truth and knowledge on all the vital issues of the day. American Freedom News believes in America first. The establishment wants us split into numerous hostile groups rather than uniting in a common cause against the corrupt oligarchy that is plundering America and the world. Many more Americans are waking up and realizing they are the victims of the ongoing Great Replacement and Great Reset. But the malevolent forces trying to systematically destroy America can and will be defeated. Be fully informed by reading American Freedom News, the best news and information site on the internet. Go to AmericanFreedomNews.us and find out for yourself. That's AmericanFreedomNews.us.
Give the dog a bone. Give the dog a bone. Everybody scream at school. Better get my pleasure breaking all the rules. Cause lesson one begins when life is cruel. Well, I guess I'm just an educated fool.
And we're back here Chris Steiner with the Liberation Station radio show. Dave in New York, if you'd like to pick up where you left off, talking about the disabilities that weren't considered by Ed Dowd, maybe in his, he's a former equity investment executive for BlackRock. And Dave, by the way, if you're in the chat room, I sent you just some more information, some more quotes from him. He wrote a book as well entitled Cause Unknown that, according to this article in American Greatness that I'll refer to, I'm going to read from a little bit here, demonstrates that non-COVID deaths among people aged 18 to 64 have exploded. But Dave, what were you saying are the fine points of his analysis with the disabilities?
Well, yeah, these things can get all too complicated. I mean, I think the 40% increase in death is very significant, and we could see that very clearly. I was rather unclear about how significant the increase in the disability abilities are. He's saying that among the employed, it was an increase of 25-point-some percent. Okay, so 25% increase in the employed people. That is very significant also. But if you look at the total number of disabilities in the nation, I just Googled it, it's like 54 million. So apparently there's 54 million people that are classified as disabled. But when you see the, I think it's rather significant, quite significant, that there's a 25% increase in the whatever population he's talking about. And it's just a little unclear what the data means. But
in the ages 25 to 64 in 2021?
Yeah, I mean, are these employed people that are disabled, are they working now? Are they receiving benefits? Or, you know, how do these numbers change around? But I think if you looked at the historical trends, this is a huge blip that occurred just like with the deaths. Okay, but I can't, you know, I can't be sure of that. Anyway, a second point, you know, I got a few points here. One is that it seems like there is some sort of a psychological operation deception that is going on that has caused people to take an action, to be inactive regarding the use of ivermectin for COVID, and inactive in trying to prosecute people for doing gain-of-function research to create more dangerous viruses in the lab with the funding, all the way from Fauci and Barrick to Wuhan. And this psychological operation involves a theory that either there are no viruses, that SARS-CoV-2 virus doesn't exist, that science is all false, and what this is really doing is it's taking down our society and all our accomplishments by suggestively demeaning science because some people did bad science based on funding. And people are not using their heads and looking into this very carefully to understand that viruses have been characterized, and some of them are dangerous. Many of them perform actual functions. But and that SARS-CoV-2 has been characterized, and that COVID is a real disease, and people are, you know, have been saying it isn't. Now, if you neutralize and say all these things aren't happening, then you don't need to take any action. You don't need to take ivermectin. You didn't need to stop a pandemic that doesn't exist. You don't need to prosecute anybody for making this virus. And that is where this alt media folks have gone off the edge. And I don't see any of the people at Ron Johnson's meeting saying anything like that. So
about the origin of it,
generally the experts at the meeting. Okay.
I mean, being concerned about the origin, no one's brought that up. Is that
those people are not saying that all of these things don't exist? They're saying that all of these things do exist. That is their presupposition, right. and they have reasons for it.
Hold on, Dave. We'll be back. Wanted to mention Dr. David Martin has faulted Ron Johnson and Senator Paul for not covering his information on the forensics of this global biological crime. We'll be right back. The second and final hour of this December 11th, 2022 Liberation Station radio show. Hold on, Dave. Be right back. Chris Steiner. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.